We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Joshua chapter 7, and we shall read again verse 25, Joshua 7:25. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. The story of Achan is one of the great warnings of Scripture. We see the disastrous consequences that follow from a small sin. But then, is any sin a small sin? The only small sin is a sin against a small God. God is so great. Every detail of his law should be kept. And to break it in one small area is terribly wicked. How important it is then to watch over our own life, to make sure that we're not allowing some little secret sin, as it were, in there, and to watch over the life of our church too, that sin does not come in. Let us remember, God is holy. God is pure. Oh, how pure. You know how, at the beginning of the book of Joshua, we're told that after Joshua and Israel had crossed into the promised land of Canaan, Joshua saw a man with a drawn sword. And he went up to him and he said, "Are you for us or against us?" And the answer he got was, "I am the captain of the host of the Lord." And there Joshua fell at his feet, and the man said to him, "Put off your shoe from off your feet. The place whereon you stand is holy ground." Right at the very beginning of his work as the leader of Israel, just as previously God had revealed his holiness to Moses, so God reveals his holiness to Joshua. "I am a holy God. I am the captain of the host of the Lord. Walk carefully before me. Don't trample my courts with your dirty boots, as it were. Remember, I see sin, and I hate it, and I will punish it." And here we see the holiness of God revealed again. Let's look then at this passage together. First, we see happy days. Egypt is behind them. All these years of slavery, bondage in the land of Egypt, that's behind. They have been delivered by a mighty arm and an outstretched hand of the Lord, saved with these plagues that came upon the Egyptians, delivered through the Red Sea, and brought out of the misery and the trouble and the pain that they had in Egypt. But not just Egypt is behind them. The 40 years of marching in the desert with all its trials and temptations and tribulations, that also is behind them. And now they have crossed over the Jordan. And that was miraculous, because the Jordan was in flood. And yet the Jordan just opened in front of them, so that Israel was able to walk across on dry land. They had come to the great city of Jericho. And it was so easy for them to capture it. All they had to do was walk round it once every day for a week. And on the seventh day, walk round it seven times, blow their trumpets, shout. And suddenly the walls of Jericho fell flat. All they had to do was to go in and take possession of that city. You can imagine how triumphant they felt. It's great when you're successful. It's great when all is going well, and great when you feel you're on the winning side. It's great when life just stretches before you and you're feeling you're being carried along. You're on the mountain tops. You're on the clouds, as it were. Triumphant, successful, prosperous, feeling more than conquerors. And sometimes, as Christians, we feel like that, don't we? We have had blessings, we have had times of enjoyment, times of enrichment, times when the Lord is near, times when we feel great. But be aware, sin is never far away. And even when you're on the mountain top, the tempter is there to attack. Don't relax your guard. Remember Jesus, baptized at the Jordan, the Spirit coming down on his head like a dove, full of the Holy Ghost. But what's just round the corner? Temptations of the devil. If that was true for our Master, it's true for us. It was true in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Great happiness, great enjoyment, great blessings. It was paradise. And then the serpent appeared. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Happy days. And as Christians, we have much to be happy about. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. But as you rejoice, rejoice with trembling. As long as we're in this world, rejoice with trembling. So secondly, the temptation. Jericho is easily captured. But God demands that everything in Jericho be given to him. It was the first fruits of the land of promise, and it was to be offered as a sacrifice to God, and he had every right to it. God was giving them this land, and he wanted them to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God first, put God first. They came into the land of promise, give the first offering, give the spoil, give it to God right at the beginning. Put God first. Everything in Jericho was to be burnt to the Lord. No spoil was to be taken by the Israelites. The gold and the silver, the iron and the brass, which would not be destroyed by the fire, was to be put into the treasury of the house of the Lord, and the rest was to be burnt. See, God makes claims upon us. He gives us things. But he looks for a response from us too. He looks for us to give our tithe to him. And we must remember that. Remember the words of Malachi? You have robbed God. Wherein have we robbed you? You have robbed God, said Malachi to Israel. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Bring now the tithes into my storehouse, and see if I will open the windows of heaven and pour you down a blessing, such as that you shall not be able to receive it. We mustn't steal the tithe from God. We must give it to him. And if we give to him these tithes and offerings, he promises to bless and prosper and enrich us. Now think of Achan. Achan was one of the soldiers of Israel. And he and the other soldiers enter into Jericho. And he goes into this house and he sees there a beautiful garment. Beautiful Babylonish garment. It was all perhaps embroidered, very rich, scarcely being used. It was looking so good. What a shame to waste that by burning it. We can burn old garments, but this one, this goodly Babylonish garment, a beautiful robe, it was so rich and precious. And then he sees some silver, 200 shekels of silver, and he sees there a wedge of gold, and he takes it. And he hides it in his tent. Nobody was around watching. He was alone. Nobody saw what he did. Thou shalt not covet. And he coveted. Covetousness is not an easy sin to overcome. So difficult sometimes. Paul said, he tried hard as an unconverted man to keep that commandment, thou shalt not covet. He became increasingly conscious of how hard it was to keep. And he said, I'm going to keep this commandment. I'm not going to covet. And he found that when he tried to keep the commandment, it only got worse. Sin revived. And I died. The harder that he tried to keep it, the more he broke it. And he realized that in his own strength, you can't keep the commandments. You need to be converted. You need to be born again. You need the Holy Spirit to help you. And it's only by the strength of God that you can overcome sin. Well, here's this man. And he coveted. Temptation came his way. And temptation comes the way of every one of us. Thou shalt not covet. Remember, there's a judgment in front of us. Then we see the secret sin. He takes the wedge of gold, he takes the silver, he takes the Babylonish garment, takes it to his tent, digs a hole in his tent, under his tent, and buries it in the ground. No one sees. And the days pass and nothing happens. Why does nothing happen at once? People say, why does God not judge me immediately? Why does punishment not come upon this person who blasphemed and cursed God to the face? But God doesn't have to work at our timing. God takes his time. God is patient. God isn't dependent on us or our timing. And there's this man then, and he's buried. He's buried it there in his tent. And we don't hear of any sense of repentance or any sense of sorrow for his sin. Did he not have a conscience? Well, I'm sure he did have a conscience. But you see, there's ways of dealing with your conscience. He could say, well, it's not a big sin, just a little sin. He could say, well, I'm a poor man. And I've got a big family and a growing family. And this money could be very useful. And I'll try and use it for God and I'll give some to God and so on. And I'll do this and I'll do that. But think of my children. What a waste it is to burn this Babylonish garment when it could be so useful for myself and keep me warm for all these years to come. People are very good at making excuses. Do you make excuses for your sin? Do you argue with your conscience and pacify your conscience? See, it's all right. It's just a little thing. Didn't do anybody any harm. I didn't hurt anybody by what I did. Really, it's just my love for my family. And isn't it a good thing to love your family? So it's all right, really. I just loved my family and I wanted to do the best for them and to make sure that they would have plenty of money and plenty of food and plenty of clothes. Secret sin. God sees it. Fourthly, the disastrous consequences. Joshua and Israel have conquered Jericho. The next town is Ai. Joshua sends some spies to see what Ai is like. And they come back with a report saying, it's just a small town. It won't be any difficulty conquering it. It's a way up on the hill there, and we don't have to take all the people, all the soldiers up there. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 up there, and they'll deal quite easily with Ai. You see, they were euphoric after the conquest of Jericho. And in a sense, there's something good there, isn't there? They've got such confidence in God. They're ready to go out and do these battles, and they were sure that they were going to be successful. And when all is well and we're trusting in God, yes, we will be successful. But remember, remember the damage that one sin can do. 3,000 Israelites went up to Ai and came back a lot quicker than they went up. And 36 innocent men lost their lives. Oh, it's only a little sin. You see the consequences, though. How others suffer. How God's judgment comes down. 36 innocent people lost their lives. And more than that, there's a breakdown of morale. It takes very little sometimes to knock us off our pedestal. And from the euphoria at the conquest of Jericho comes depression and despair. Joshua falls on his face before the Lord, and he lies there all day. He has torn his garments. He's in despair. What is going to happen now? All the Canaanites round about will hear how Ai has beaten us, and they will all gather together, encouraged by this, and they will come in their millions, and they'll just descend upon us and destroy us. Oh, why? Why did we ever cross Jordan? Why did we ever come this way? Disaster, disaster, disaster. And that's what happens when sin comes into our lives. It weakens us and it brings God's judgment upon us. Are you hiding a secret sin in your life? Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. If only at this stage Achan had got down on his knees and repented. If only he had come to Joshua and confessed his fault. But no. There's such a hardness in sin, making excuses, defiance. What are we to do with sin? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Purge out the old leaven. You know, sin is like leaven or yeast. If you put a little into dough, it soon spreads. And it's like that in the church. A little sin can spread so quickly. A little sin that's tolerated, that's accepted, and it spreads around and it defiles and it destroys and it brings God's judgment. Be sure your sins will find you out. Remember, God sees, God knows, God is holy, and the sinner shall not go unpunished. Then finally we come to the answer, the only answer. Joshua prays, well, that's what we're to do. With our depression, with our despair, with our fears, with our panics, pray. Come with our worries and our troubles and pray. Whatever the difficulties, pray. Joshua prays and the elders of Israel pray. And Joshua prays for Israel. Joshua is the Old Testament name for Jesus. Jesus is the Greek and Joshua is the Hebrew. Here we see Joshua fulfilling the role of the forerunner of Christ. A type of Christ. Just as Christ intercedes for us, So we find Joshua here interceding for Israel. And God answers him and says, get up. There's a job to be done. A surgical operation must be carried out. The cancer must not be treated with cream, but rather cut out. The problem must be dealt with. The next morning, all the Israelite tribes are to come before the Lord, and God will choose one of them. And then from this tribe, all the families, the leading families, and God will choose one. And so it is that the tribes come and God chooses Judah. And of the families of Judah, the Sarites are separated out. Of the families of the Sarites, Zabdi is taken. And then of the family of Zabdi, Achan is taken. And Joshua says to Achan, confess. Give glory to God and make confession. Tell me what you've done. Don't hide anything. He has been found. He's been singled out. He cannot hide now. And he tells of how he is hidden. The Babylonish garment and the wedge of gold and the silver in his tent. Men are sent and they go to his tent and they dig up the ground under his tent and there they find it and they bring it along. And Achan is taken and his family. Why his family? Well, the family would be there, wouldn't they? You can't dig up the floor of your tent and hide silver and gold and stuff under your tent without your wife and children seeing it, can you? So they were complicit in the sin. His family are taken. And his sheep and his goats and his asses and all that he had is taken. And his tent is taken. And they are stoned to death. And then they are burnt with fire. And then a great heap of stones raised up as a monument, as a memorial, a lighthouse, a warning to Israel, and still to us today, that memorial still stands. Get rid of the Achan. Get rid of the secret sin. And so we read in Hosea chapter 2 that the valley of Achor is a door of hope. Achan was stoned to death in the valley of Achor. And once he was stoned to death, a door of hope was opened. You see, the judgment, the chastisement, the discipline had to be exercised. And then there was hope. Then there was, yes, victory over Ai and victory over all the Canaanite nations. When we are walking with God, when we are living in a proper relationship with God, God's blessing will be upon us. But when we are hiding sin in our hearts and in our lives, God's judgment is upon us. So there's a warning here. Warning for you personally. Is there secret sin in your life which you're not confessing and getting rid of? If your hand offends you, cut it off, says Christ. If your eye is leading you into sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. Better to enter into heaven with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell. As a church, we have constantly to be on our guard that we don't overlook sin, scandalous sin. It has to be dealt with. Otherwise, we cannot have God's blessing. We must constantly be searching our hearts, confessing our sins, and repenting before the Lord. Achan, it's a great warning. Are you taking this warning to heart tonight? Let God's word speak to your own conscience, and confess your sins unto the Lord.